But I want you to go to an Old Testament book in your Bible. I want us to go to Deuteronomy chapter number 7. Okay? Does everybody know where Deuteronomy is? If we don't, we're not going to admit it. Amen? We're going to look like we know right where we're going. Genesis, Exodus, Leviticus, Numbers, Deuteronomy. Deuteronomy, chapter number 7. And, this is Memorial Day weekend. The ability to remember. Would you agree with me that that's a wonderful gift from God? You ever seen somebody with Alzheimer's that can't remember? That's a sad thing, isn't it? The ability to remember is quite a gift from the Lord. Webster's defines remember as to bring again to the mind, to think again, to bring to mind, to think again. Imagine with me just for a moment that you could hear and you could understand anything, okay? You can hear, you can understand thoughts and ideas. But imagine with me for a moment that while you could understand and think and understand ideas, that you could not remember any previous thought. Now imagine the implications of that for just a moment. Imagine that you could not remember any previous thought. What would that mean? Well, that would mean, number one, you would not know how to drive yourself home. Amen? You wouldn't know how to drive home if you had no previous memory. Imagine you wouldn't be able to remember your name. You would not be able to remember your wife's name. I'll tell you something even worse than that. You would not be able to remember your anniversary, guys. That would not be good, would it? Or your wife's birthday. That would not be good either. But imagine if you couldn't. You know, I was listening to a preacher preach this year. This guy got some kind of, I think it was like a bacterial meningitis. And he was in a coma. He almost died. And when he came out of the coma, this was 10 years ago, he said he absolutely had complete memory loss. Could not remember one thing. His wife had to explain to him. She said, "I am your wife." He said, "What's a wife?" She had to explain to him what a wife was, what it meant to be married. And that she was his wife and had to explain, these are your children. And this guy had been in the ministry, started a youth camp. I mean, he'd done all kinds of things, couldn't remember a thing. Had to completely learn everything anew and afresh. He talks with us kind of a speech impediment, but did you know that guy is preaching the Word of God today? He is preaching God's Word today. Amazing fella, just amazing. And he preaches it. It's good. I mean, it's good stuff. And it's just amazing to me. Complete memory loss. Imagine if that happened to you. Now, granted, there are some memories that are painful. You know, there are some things that we could probably be happy not to remember. But I think that all of us would be agreed in here this morning that it would be a terrible thing if we lost the power to remember. Did you know that the principle of remembering is found all throughout the Bible? During Jesus' earthly ministry, He said in Luke 17:32, remember Lot's wife. He told them that as he was warning them. He remembered Lot's wife. The angels came there to the tomb of Jesus, and they said to those at Jesus' tomb, the angels said, "He is not here, but is risen." And then they said, "Remember. Remember how he spake unto you when he was in Galilee." The Lord's Supper. Whenever we do communion, what does the Bible say? This do in what? Good. This do in remembrance, Jesus said, of me. Jesus said, I want you, every time you take communion, I want you to remember some things and remember what I've done for you. The Apostle Paul in the church age, when he wrote to the church, oftentimes the Apostle Paul would say, I want to put you in remembrance of this or that or the other. I want to put you in remembrance of this truth or that truth. You see, this morning on Memorial Day weekend, what Memorial Day? What word would memorial come from? Memory. See? That's right. Memorial Day has to do with the memory. We are keeping in memory something. That's what Memorial Day is all about. We're keeping in memory something. It was set aside as a day to keep in memory some things. And I want us to consider this morning the high cost of failing to remember some things. You see, when a nation fails to remember the great sacrifice the people in the past have made for their liberty, well, that can only spell trouble. When a nation forgets the great sacrifices of the past, that can only spell trouble for that nation. And we're going to see this morning the same is true of the Christian life. Here in Deuteronomy chapter 7, God's people in the Old Testament, the nation of Israel, they're about to enter into Canaan land. They're about to enter into the land that God was going to give them. And God is issuing to them here in Deuteronomy some very strong warnings and admonitions before they go into the land. Look with me at chapter 7, and I want you to notice how the principle of remembering is reiterated by the Lord to Israel. Deuteronomy 7, verse 18. He says, "Thou shalt not be afraid of them." But notice, he says, "Thou shalt," and I underline in my Bible the next two words. What is it? Yeah, he said, "Thou shalt well remember." Look with me at chapter 8. Turn over there. Chapter 8 and verse 2. Notice the very first phrase of this verse. Again, he's issuing some warnings to them as they're about to enter into the land. He says, "And thou shalt what?" He said, "Yeah, you need to remember what I'm about to tell you." Look at verse 11. Deuteronomy 8:11. "Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God." Look at verse 14. "Then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God." Look at verse 18. "But thou shalt remember the Lord thy God." Look down at chapter 9 and verse 7. This isn't really in our text this morning, but same thing. Chapter 9, verse 7. What's the very first word? Everybody say it together. What? Remember. God says, "Remember and forget not." Well, that's interesting to me. How many times he said, "Remember" or "forget not"? Did you know that remembering is an essential part of the Christian life? And so this morning, I want us to take the Bible, and I want us to study it, and I want us on this Memorial Day weekend, I want us to look at three vital things that God wants you to remember. Three things that are crucial to your Christian walk. Three things that are crucial to your Christian life. Three crucial things to remember. And I thought Memorial Day weekend would be a good time to look at this text and to see some things that God wants us to remember, because this principle of remembering is found under the law. It's found in the earthly ministry of Christ. The principle of remembering is seen in Paul's ministry. The principle of remembering is seen throughout the Bible. So this morning, I want us to notice three key things. Number one, we must remember the victories that God has won. We must remember the victories that God has won. Now remember, God was about to send His people, Israel, into a land. Now what was in that land waiting for them? Does anybody know? When they're in the wilderness, here in Deuteronomy, and they're about getting ready to go in and take that land, does anybody remember the evil thing that was waiting for them? There was some enemies there, wasn't there? In fact, in Deuteronomy 7:1, if you look at that, he lists seven nations that were there waiting for Israel. They were going to dare them to try to come in and take it. You know what had happened, Pastor Larry, is Satan knows all about the special uniqueness of that land area. Satan knows all about it. Satan had fortified this land area with seven nations that were ready to whoop anybody that tried to come in and take it from them. It wasn't one nation they had to deal with. It was seven nations that Israel had to deal with, because Satan had fortified that land area and did not want to relinquish that land area because he knew of its special nature and the uniqueness in the plan of God. And Satan didn't want to give it up. So Satan had fortified that land area with seven nations. Look at chapter 7, verse 1. "When the Lord thy God shall bring thee into the land whither thou goest to possess it, and hath cast out," notice, "many nations before thee," and he names them, about the Hittites, and he names all these nations. Look at the very end, after he names all seven, he says, "seven nations," notice this, "greater and mightier than thou." So they were going to go into a land area that was filled, literally filled, with wicked and violent nations that were much greater and mightier than Israel. Have you ever gotten into a situation where you felt like you were outmatched? Have you? You ever get in a situation where you feel like you're outmatched? You feel like, man, this is too big for me. I can't handle this. You know, man, I am going to get tore up. You know, maybe it was a sports game, or maybe it was a ping pong game, or maybe it was some real serious issue of life at your job or your work. And you think, man, this is way too big for me. Do you understand that's how Israel felt? These nations were very adept at warfare. Israel was not. And so God knew that the natural reaction of Israel would be fear. So what was God's antidote for their fear? I'll show you. Look at chapter 7, verse 17. Here's the antidote for the fear. Verse 17, if thou shalt say in thine heart, now he already knew what they were going to think, Israel. If thou shalt say in thine heart, these nations are more than I, how can I dispossess them? Here's the antidote. Here's the way they overcome their fear. Verse 18. And thou shalt not be afraid of them, here it is, but shalt well remember what the Lord thy God did unto Pharaoh and to all Egypt, the great temptations which thine eyes saw, and the signs and the wonders and the mighty hand and the stretched out arm, whereby the Lord thy God brought thee out, so shall the Lord thy God do unto all the people of whom thou art afraid. God said, look, Israel, when you're tempted to fear, remember, keep in memory, don't forget what I did to Pharaoh. Don't forget what I did to all of Egypt. Don't forget when they were chasing you with their weapons and their chariots. And you were heading for the Red Sea and you were trapped and you didn't know what to do. Remember how I opened up that Red Sea. And remember how you went across on dry ground. And remember how when Pharaoh and all of his armies came in the Red Sea, how I brought the water back down upon them and I killed every one of them. When you're tempted to fear, when you see these seven nations that are greater and that are mightier than you are, when you are tempted to be afraid, he said, I want you to, what, church? Remember. I want you to remember the victories I've won for you in the past. Hey, can I ask you a question this morning? Has God won some victories for you in the past? Huh? Would you agree with me the greatest victory that a person could ever win is the victory over the bondage of sin? Amen? Would you agree with me that the greatest victory that we could ever win would be to be delivered from the penalty of our sin? The Lord Jesus Christ gave His life on the cross so that you and I could be delivered from the penalty of our sin. So that you and I could overcome eternal death and hell and judgment. We could overcome the wrath of God against sin. Christ died for our sin so that if we believe on Him, we accept Him, then He comes and He lives inside of us. And He gives us immediate deliverance over our sin, the penalty of our sin. I don't know about you, but I'm very thankful this morning that I'm not going to have to pay the penalty for my sin. I'm glad Christ did that for me. And you know what? I need to remember the victory that God won for me the day I got saved. I need to remember that. I don't need to ever get over it. I don't need to ever forget the victory that God, the great victory that God won for me the day I got saved. Question for you. Has God accomplished some things in your life since you got saved? Have you been perfect? Had any struggles? But has God done some things for you since you got saved? Can I get anybody to give a witness to that, huh? Has He done anything in your life? Can you look back at your Christian life and can you see some victories that God's won for you? You know what God says? God says, look, you need to remember those things. You need to remember that when circumstances were tough, but you found out that God was true to His Word. You found out He was faithful. You found out He was true. You found out He was just. You found out that He can't fail. And you need to remember those victories that God has wrought for you in the past. Why? in your handout, it says, we need desperately to remember the victories God's won in the past, lest fear grip us in the present and paralyze us in our Christian walk. And then there's a great verse there, 2 Timothy 1:7. Look at it with me. 2 Timothy chapter 1, verse 7. Mike, can you give me a little more A's? Thank you. 2 Timothy 1:7. Let's read it together. For God hath not given us the spirit of fear, but of power and of love and of a sound mind. Boy, that'd be a pretty good verse to memorize. Would you agree with me? That'd be a pretty good verse to take this thing home with you today and go ahead and commit that to your memory. Because that's a great verse. We see, whenever we're tempted to fear and let fear grip our heart, what is it that you're facing today that has you a little fearful? Now think about it. What are you facing today that has you a little bit fearful? Now don't say it out loud, because everybody in here is different. Is it a circumstance with your kid, your grandkid, at work, your job, your personal life? What is it that fear is kind of getting a hold of you a little bit? You're a little bit scared about it. You're fearful. The Bible says God hath not given us the spirit of fear. What is it that fear has gripped your heart with this morning? What is it that you fear the most? God says, listen to me. God says, you remember what I've done for you in the past. Don't forget it. Remember the victories I've won for you in the past. Don't doubt me. Trust me. Don't doubt me. Trust me. Remember the victories that I've won for you in the past. Oh, Christian, be encouraged this morning. Be encouraged this morning and remember those past victories. Number two, the second crucial principle here about remembering is this. We must remember lessons learned from past trials. Go over to chapter 8 with me. Let's look at this. Now, here's Israel. They're in the wilderness. They're on the threshold of entering into Canaan land. Canaan land was a land flowing with milk and honey. It was a wonderful land of fruitfulness. And Israel was about to enter into an unprecedented time of blessing. But their past was not always one big party. They had not come down Easy Street to get to where they were. They had been through some great trials. Look with me at chapter 8, verse 1. He says, all the commandments which I command thee this day shall ye observe to do, that ye may live and multiply and go in and possess the land which the Lord sware unto your fathers. Now, notice the principle here. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness, to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep his commandments or no. And he humbled thee and suffered thee to hunger and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not. Neither did thy fathers know, that he might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. This is the text that Jesus quoted to the devil. Remember? When he said, take these stones, turn them into bread. And Jesus said to the devil, man shall not live by bread alone, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of God. He was quoting Deuteronomy chapter 8 in verse 3. You see, we see here in this text, Israel's about to go in here. They're about to enter a time of blessing. It's interesting, though, that it says that God led them into the wilderness first. Look down at chapter 8, verse 15. Notice it says, who led thee? The who is God. God led thee through that great and terrible wilderness, wherein were fiery serpents and scorpions and drought, where there was no water, who brought thee forth water out of the rock of flint. God led them into the wilderness, and according to verse 3, it was God that allowed them to hunger. Look at verse 3 again. And he humbled thee and suffered. Now that word suffered means allowed. God allowed thee to hunger. Now if you're here this morning, you may be thinking, well, why would God do this to his children? Why would God allow his very own children to hunger? Why would God allow His children to have to go through that terrible wilderness that He described there in verse 15? Well, why would God do that? You know, let's think about that a minute. Why would God do that? Why would God allow His children to go through a wilderness, 40 years? Why would God allow His children to suffer hunger? Why would God allow it? Good question, huh? Why does God allow bad things to come into the lives of Christians? That's kind of an applicable thought, huh, for today? Yeah, you get asked that a lot. Well, look with me at verse 2. I'm going to read three verses, and I know you. And I know you well enough to know we've got one of the sharpest... our people are some of the sharpest in America when it comes to the Bible. And I mean that. You guys are sharp, and I know you're going to pick right up on it. I want you to look for a common phrase. All right, here we go. Verse 2. And thou shalt remember all the way which the Lord thy God led thee these 40 years in the wilderness to humble thee and to prove thee, to know what was in thine heart, whether thou wouldest keep His commandments or no. Now look at verse 3. We're going to read the next verse. We're going to read 3. That was the first one. Now look for a repetitive phrase. You ready? Verse 3. And He humbled thee, and suffered thee to hunger, and fed thee with manna, which thou knewest not, neither did thy fathers know, that He might make thee know that man doth not live by bread only, but by every word that proceedeth out of the mouth of the Lord doth man live. All right? Let's read one more verse. Look for a common phrase. Verse 16. Who fed thee in the wilderness with manna, which thy fathers knew not, that He might humble thee, and that He might prove thee, to do thee good at thy latter end. What was the common phrase in all three verses? Bingo, you got it. Now, you got to look for stuff like that when you study your Bible. See, when you're reading your Bible, you don't just fly through it, just read it real fast. You need to look for stuff like that. That's good. See, and when you're reading your Bible... okay, you study these things out and you say, wow, I think I saw that phrase pop up before. Wow, there it is again. There it is again. And when you study your Bible, you notice things like that. That three different times God said, I'm going to humble thee. You see, Israel had a problem with stubborn self-will. They always wanted their own way. Now, there wouldn't be anybody like that in here this morning, would there? Nah, we wouldn't be like that. God allowed trials to come into their life to humble them. What do you mean, humble them? You mean just to get them to feel real bad about themselves? No, no, no. When He says to humble you, that doesn't mean that, you know, just like a whipped puppy, like a dog that's been beat. That's not what He's talking about. When He says, I did it to humble you, He was trying to teach them to rely on Him and on His Word alone. You don't live by bread only. You live by every word that proceeds out of my mouth. He was teaching them humility in the sense of learning to depend on God and God alone. Learning to depend on the Word. Learning to live their life by the Word of God, what comes out of the mouth of God and not what comes out of the mouth of this person and that person and what this circumstance tells me and what this person... No, He says, I'm trying to teach you a way of living. I'm trying to teach you to live in a way of conscious dependence on me in every situation. And He said, I let you go through the wilderness, and I let you suffer hunger, and I let you go through these trials to teach you a lesson of humility, to teach you to rely on me and on my word. And you know what I found in your handout? It says, when we remember past trials and the lessons God taught us through those trials, it keeps us humble. And in total reliance on His Word. You need to remember the trials God brought you through. You need to remember those times when the tears fell down your cheeks. You need to remember those times when you failed and when you failed miserably. You need to remember those. You say, why? Because they keep us humble. They remind us how much we need God. They remind us daily how much we need His Word. And that we base our life on the Word of God. And when we fail to remember the lessons that God's taught us in the past, what does God have to do? He has to keep reteaching us the same lessons. Now, some of us are hardheads, okay? And so sometimes God has to keep teaching us the same lessons over and over. But I've tried to kind of learn in my Christian life to get it the first time so that He doesn't have to keep reteaching me those things. It's like, okay, I learned that when I went through that trial. God taught me a lesson through that trial. Now, let me learn it so I don't have to go through another trial and learn it all over again. Are you with me this morning? See? And so we need to remember that. I got to hurry. Number three, last thing. We need to remember who is the source of all blessings. Now, chapter 8, I want you to stay there. Israel is about to enter the land that God was going to give to them. And I want you to notice what a good land it was God was going to give them. Look at verse 7. For the Lord thy God bringeth thee into a good land. A land, now what kind of land was it? It was a what? Good land. A land of brooks of water. He's going to describe it. Fountains and depths that spring out of the valleys and hills. A land of wheat and barley and vines and fig trees and pomegranates. A land of olive, of oil olive and honey. A land wherein thou shalt eat bread without scarceness. Thou shalt not lack anything in it. A land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills thou mayest dig brass. Man, it was a good land. Question, church. What was Israel to do when they were blessed by God? Look at verse 10. When thou hast eaten and art full, then thou shalt, say it with me, bless the Lord thy God. Yes. He says, I want you to look up. I want you to bless me. I want you to thank me for the good land which He hath given thee. Christian, listen to this. Christian, listen, hear me. We live thousands of years later after this. We live in a different time period. You know how that we study the Bible and we rightly divide it and we look at it in its proper context. And we live thousands of years later. We live in a totally different time period than Israel did in the Old Testament. But did you know that nothing has changed when it comes to this matter of thanksgiving? We are still in 2007 to remember where our blessings come from. And we are to give thanks to God for everything in our life. In your handout, it says a couple verses there. Charge them, 1 Timothy 6:17, charge them that are rich in this world, that they be not high-minded, nor trust in uncertain riches, but in the living God. Notice what the living God does. He gives us richly all things to enjoy. 1 Thessalonians 5:18, in everything give thanks. Say that with me. In everything give thanks. Why? Let's read the rest of it together. For this is the will of God in Christ Jesus concerning you. What's the will of God for you? It's to what? Give thanks. Look up on the screen. I've got another great verse, Ephesians 5:20. Giving thanks. Boy, this is pretty all-inclusive. Giving thanks. Say the word. Always. Notice, I'm to give thanks always for what? There it is. That's about as clear as it can get. Giving thanks always for all things unto God and the Father in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ. That's pretty clear. You see, God knew what Israel's tendency would be. You know what their tendency would be? To get into the land and then forget where their blessings came from. Look with me at verse 11, Deuteronomy 8:11. Beware that thou forget not the Lord thy God in not keeping His commandments and His judgments and His statutes which I command thee this day. Lest when thou hast eaten and art full and hast built goodly houses and dwelt therein, and when thy herds and thy flocks multiply and thy silver and thy gold is multiplied and all that thou hast is multiplied, then thine heart be lifted up, and thou forget the Lord thy God, which brought thee forth out of the land of Egypt from the house of bondage. He knew their tendency would be to forget who gave them the blessings. And He knew the tendency would be to get filled up with this inner pride in themselves. Look what we've accomplished. Look what we've built. Look what we've done. Look what we've done with this land. And He said in verse 17, and thou say in thine heart, my power and the might of mine hand hath gotten me this wealth. Pride. Now, what was the answer to that fleshly tendency to forget where their blessings came from? What was the answer? Look with me at verse 18 and we'll get the answer. But thou shalt remember. There it is again. Thou shalt remember the Lord thy God, for it is He that giveth thee power to get wealth. that he may establish his covenant, which he sware unto thy fathers as it is this day. And it shall be, if thou do at all forget the Lord thy God, and walk after other gods, and serve them, and worship them, I testify against you this day, that ye shall surely perish. Now, folks, listen. There's the answer. Do you know what Satan has used to destroy many godly Christians? Not trials or bad things or hunger or things like that. You know what Satan's used to destroy many godly Christians? Success and prosperity. Because in your handout, it says, if we do not remember where our blessings come from, we can get caught in a web of idolatry. And that's exactly what we just read in verse 19. He knew if they did not remember where their blessings came from, they could get caught in a web of idolatry. And you know what happens? In this day and age, 2007, we do the same thing. We forget where our blessings come from. You forget where that paycheck comes from on Friday. You forget where that savings account originated from, where those CDs originated from, where that furniture and all that junk we've got in our homes, we forget where all that came from. We forget, and what happens is when we forget, we begin to worship the works of men's hands. We begin to worship our houses and worship our cars. It's unbelievable in America today that we worship restaurants. We think nothing of throwing down $40 or $50 for a meal in a restaurant. And then we'll come in and we'll put $5, you know, to missions on Sunday. You know, we'll think nothing of three or four times a week slapping down $40 in a restaurant. And, you know, so we'll spend over $100 in a week just eating out and then come in and kind of, you know, tip the missionaries $5 or $10. We live in a day and age where we worship idols. We worship our stomach, food. We worship our houses that we're hardly ever in. We worship cars. We worship toys. We worship furniture that we never sit on. Do you know if you were to just add up the amount of the price of furniture in this room that hardly ever gets sat on? Do you know what we could probably do for missions? We worship this stuff. We worship, you know, toys that we hardly ever use. We worship boats that we hardly ever go out on. We worship cars, and we worship this, and we worship that. And we worship these things. How do we worship them? We begin to live for those things. Our life revolves around them. And our life revolves around the acquisition and the use of them. And we've taught our kids to be this way. But as we remember, it says in your handout, as we remember that God is the source of every blessing, it will lead us to worship Him and give Him first place in our heart and life. Well, you got to remember who's the source of those blessings. Can somebody tell me who's the source of every blessing in our life, Christian? It's God. God said, I'm the one, 1 Timothy 6, I'm the one that gives you these things. And you know what the next verse says? He says, I've given you these things. Don't get high-minded. Don't get puffed up. Don't think it's your stuff. He said, charge them that are rich in this world because I've given you these things. And he says, you need to tell them to be ready to distribute. That means give. Do you know how the best way to remember where our blessings come from? I'm going to tell you, in my life, and I believe what the Word of God teaches through the Apostle Paul for the church today, the best way to remember where our blessings come from is to, on the first day of the week, come into church and bring a nice, generous, sacrificial love gift to our Savior and give it to Him and say, Lord, You're the one that's blessed me this past week. And I know it's quiet in here, but that's okay. Because I know we practice it in our family, and I know it helps us keep everything in perspective. We don't tip God on Sunday and then go out and gorge our stomachs and gorge all of the things in this life of materialism. When I look back at my checkbook at the end of the year, I want to see I gave the most to the Lord of anything else. I gave the Lord more than Walmart. I gave the Lord more than my mortgage company. I gave the Lord more than I did the people that hold the loan on my car or cars. I gave the Lord more than I gave FPL or whoever else. I gave the Lord more than the cable company. You know, when I look at my checkbook, I want it to reflect a love for my Savior. I want it to reflect how appreciative I am of His grace. And you know, we are just like Israel was. We have been so blessed. We've been so multiplied. We live in goodly houses, and we've got all these wonderful things. But yet, I'm afraid so many Christians in America today have forgotten where it came from and how quickly it can be gone. And the best way to remember is, Paul says, you systematically, on the first day of the week, on Sunday, you set aside. However He's blessed you, you come in and you bless, and you give back to the Lord a generous sacrificial gift of grace that reflects your appreciation for His grace. I'm just telling you this morning that if we want to flee idolatry, if we want to flee idolatry, the only way to do it is through a giving heart. You've got to have a giving heart. You've got to give to the Lord if you're going to overcome that tendency towards idolatry and worshiping things. So important. Well, we see this morning the importance of remembering. You know what a fascinating verse to me is? Paul wrote Timothy in 2 Timothy 2:8. You know what he said to Timothy? Now get this. Paul had discipled Timothy. Timothy was a pastor. Timothy was a leader. And do you know what Paul said to him? Remember that Jesus Christ of the seed of David was raised from the dead according to my gospel. I'm sitting there thinking, wait a minute, this guy's a pastor. This guy's been in the ministry a while. He's kind of a seasoned veteran. And you're telling him to remember that Christ rose from the dead? That's amazing to me. Hey, remember our Savior's alive. Remember He rose from the dead, Timothy. What does that tell me? How quickly we can forget things and put them out of our mind. If Paul thought it was necessary to remind Timothy of the resurrection, then how important is it that we remember the victories God's won in the past, we remember the trials and the lessons that God taught us through the trials, and we remember where our blessings come from. So important. This thing of remembering is crucial. In your handout, it says, tomorrow, may we take time to remember past sacrifices for this country. And boy, we need to do that tomorrow. Tomorrow, before you dive into your meal or barbecue or whatever it is you do, you need to have a word of prayer and you need to thank the Lord for the sacrifices of the people that died for this country and that gave up an arm. Maybe they're still alive, but they're missing an arm because of what they did for this country. Or they're missing a leg. Or they're missing both legs. You know? You need to, or they're suffering with cancer somewhere because of something that happened in a previous war. You need to remember the people who are suffering because they still got shrapnel in them because of what they gave for this country. Tomorrow we need to remember people all over this country are still suffering because of sacrifices they made years ago for our country. We need to remember it. But then it says in your handout, may we daily take time to remember what Jesus Christ has done in our life. We need to daily remember what Christ has done in our life. Let's pray. Father.